السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. بسم الله. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن خير الكلام كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. وبعد، the last part of what you just heard is something that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say frequently in the beginning or as part of his talks, his speeches. And as we said yesterday, that what you the first part, all of it, is called khutbatul haja, the speech of need. And the last part of it is something that Jabir radiallahu anhu reported that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say also in the beginning of his talks, or as a supplement to khutbatul haja. Now, the lecture today, which is titled as The Correct Way to Practice Our Deen or Our Religion, is, yani revolves, the title revolves around the meanings that are in this last part that I just said. Amma ba'd, fa inna khayr al hadith kitabullah, or khayr al kalam kalamullah. What follows is that the best of speech is Allah's words, which means the Quran here, because that is the only part of Allah's words that we have in our hands and that is confirmed to be of Allah's words. وَخَيْرَ الْهَدْيِ, and the best of guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The best guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the worst of matters are those that are innovated by people. The worst of matters of religion, yani, are those that have been innovated, made up by people. For every innovation is a bid'ah. Yani, translating this to English literally would not make much sense, because it's like saying every innovation is an innovation. But the Prophet ﷺ is referring to a shar'i definition of the word bid'ah, as we will be seeing inshallah during this workshop. So every innovation is a bid'ah, and every bid'ah is an act of misguidance. And every act of misguidance leads to the fire or is in the fire. Okay? So these statements about the importance of the Book of Allah or the words of Allah, the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the warning against innovations in the deen, these are the things around which center the method or the methodology of practicing our religion properly and correctly. And this is what we will be discussing today, inshallah. A lot of the discussion today, I will be following in it a chapter from one of my books, which is Festivals and Celebrations in Islam. There's a chapter, chapter 5, Innovated Festivals and Celebrations. And in that chapter, I discuss things that are the same as what we will be talking about today. So it is actually one of the publishers, one of the distributors, book distributors, asked me to expand that chapter and make it a book by itself. And I told him that actually I'm working on that. And there was a plan to publish a book on the methodology of practicing Islam correctly. And I have covered some grounds on it, but I never had the time to finish it. And the title of the book is Path of the Believers. Path of the Believers. But it's still under work, as I said. So inshallah, maybe someday, if Allah gives me time and ability, I will be able to complete it. But what you will be hearing today is basically the gist of what is going to be in such a book. And like I said, if you want what we will discuss today strongly summarized in very brief words, you'll find that in the first half of chapter 5 of this book, Festivals and Celebrations in Islam. Okay. We start the first segment of this workshop, and like yesterday, we will have segments. The first segment will be about the importance, the meaning and importance of adhering to the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, that will be the first part, which should take us close to an hour, inshallah, to cover, plus or minus a little bit. The second part is the warning against bid'ah. What's the meaning of bid'ah and how to avoid it, and so on. And the third part, and that also should be in the vicinity of 1 hour. The third part will be approximately, it will be about giving some examples about bid'ahs that we did not have chance to cover in the second part. And also, inshallah, we'll have chance to answer some questions during that last part. Okay. And we'll try to finish everything, inshallah, before 1:15, so that the doors are not closed before we leave and we are forced to break out in any rough manner. Okay. Importance of adhering to the Sunnah. We know that the major pillar of Islam and what makes a person Muslim, at least by words, is the Shahada. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. We talked mainly about the first part of the Shahada yesterday, in the workshop yesterday, about Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. I bear witness that there is no true God, no God who is worthy of being worshipped except Allah. That was the main discussion that we had yesterday in the workshop about the da'wah of the prophets. Okay? Now, today we will be mainly talking about the second part, which is Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. And as I said yesterday, that Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, the first part means we worship none but Allah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah means I worship one, we worship none except Allah, or I worship none except Allah. The second part, أشهد أن محمد رسول الله, means I do not worship Allah except according to His legislation. I do not take any guidance, any instructions as to how to worship Allah except from Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what it means, Muhammadur Rasulullah. And that is what makes sense, as I mentioned briefly yesterday, and we will be discussing more today, that we do not worship Allah except according to His guidance, because He is the one who created us and who knows what is best for us and what is the best way to perform that thing or to reach those things that are best for us. He is the one who knows that, and therefore He is the one who tells us how to do it, and we follow His guidance. If we follow other guidance in that regard, we are certainly and surely bound to divert, to miss our goals. Okay, so there are a few points to which we can divide this first segment of discussion. The first point is that Allah's revelation consists of two parts, the Quran and the Sunnah. So we cannot say that we take our religion solely from the Quran. Okay, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, for instance, هُوَ الَّذِي بَعَثَ فِي الْأُمِّيِّينَ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ يَتْلُو عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ لَفِي ضَلَالٍ مُّبِينٍ. سورة الجمعة. Which means it is He who has sent among the unlettered people a messenger from themselves, reciting to them His ayat, purifying them and teaching them the book and wisdom, although they previously were in clear misguidance. Ayat, ayah means sign. The word ayah means sign. Okay? A sign that is capable of convincing. And the signs that convince us of Allah's presence and Allah being the God that He alone deserves to be worshipped, and so on, such ayat are present in His creation and are also present in His book. And that is why we call, or Allah Azza wa Jal calls, the portions of each chapter or each surah of His book, He calls them ayat. He calls them ayat, signs. And that is what we should call them. That's what we should also call them, rather than calling them verses. Yani, I really do not like, even though most speakers call them verses, but I do not like calling them verses. Because first of all, Allah did not call them verses, abiyat ushar or something like that, or abiyat in Arabic. And secondly, verses is used to apply to portions of the Bible and shouldn't be used to apply to portions of the Quran. And thirdly, because verses usually mean that there is poetry, and the Quran does not include poetry. Rather, Allah Azza wa Jal negates that the Quran is poetry. So therefore, I say it is much better that we do not use the word verse in regard to the ayat in the Quran. Rather use the word ayah because it carries much more meaning. It means that it is a small portion of the Quran, and it also means that it is a sign, a convincing sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We cannot say a sentence because, as you know, an ayah is sometimes not a complete sentence. And sometimes an ayah is more than one sentence. Sometimes it contains several sentences. Sometimes it is part of a sentence. Okay? So that is why it is best to say ayah, khalas. And define it for people, then people will understand what it means. So here Allah Azza wa Jal is telling us that He sent the unlettered people, the Arabs, and then beyond them, all of humanity, a messenger from among themselves who recites to them the ayat from Allah, which means the Quran, and who purifies them from all the evils that they had before Islam, and who teaches them the book and the wisdom. Who teaches them the book and the wisdom. What is the wisdom? The wisdom is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is nothing else that this ayat could be referring to. The book is one thing that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us, and the other thing that he taught us is the wisdom that the book, of course, is full of wisdom. But what other wisdom was there? The other form or part of wisdom that he taught us was in his sunnah. So this ayah clearly tells us that there are two segments or two parts of the revelation that we are bound to. The first one is Allah's book, and the second part is the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Similarly, Allah Azza wa Jalla addresses the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Surah Al-Ahzab by saying, "Wadhkurna ma yutla fi buyutikunna min ayati Allahi wal hikmah," which means mention and relate to others what is recited in your houses of ayatullah, the ayat of Allah, which means the Quran, and al-hikmah, the wisdom. Which wisdom is that? The sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. So that was a command to the mothers of the believers, the wives of the Prophet ﷺ, to teach other people, to learn first, and then teach others the Quran and the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the sunnah is a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a revelation. Just as the Quran is a revelation. What's the difference between the two? The difference between the two is the Quran is the exact words of Allah. The sunnah is instructions from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in the words of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And we can say the same about, by the way, I mean this is a side remark, we can say the same about Hadith al-Qudusi, that it is part of the Sunnah, not part of the Quran. Hadith al-Qudusi is a hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that Allah azza wa jal said such and such. So, even though he quotes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but there is difference among the ulama in understanding or explaining this, but according to the majority or the explanation that makes the most sense is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam quotes Allah in his own words. Yani quotes the meaning of what Allah azza wa jal said, but not the exact statement, not necessarily the exact statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's in the Hadith Qudusi. So therefore, we say that the revelation consists of two parts, the Quran and the Sunnah. And the Sunnah, even though it is not the exact words of Allah, but it is a revelation from Allah. It is a revelation from Allah. In Surah Al-Najm, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says regarding the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ما ضل صاحبكم وما غوى وما ينطق عن الهوى إن هو إلا وحي يوحى. ما ضل صاحبكم وما غوى, which means your companion, he is referring to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he is telling other people who were around him, ما ضل صاحبكم وما غوى, your companion has not strayed, nor has he erred, nor does he speak of his own desire. وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ, it is but a revelation being revealed to him. It's but a revelation being revealed to him. So this indicates that what the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ speaks is a revelation that is revealed to him. His speech is a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore it cannot go wrong in the rare cases where he did make a mistake in one of his statements. Allah Azza wa Jalla immediately corrected him so that there was no mistake in the revelation that he, or in the message that he delivered to us. Okay? This is from the Quran. This tells us, these are some ayat from the Quran that tell us that Islam consists, or the teachings of Islam consist of two parts, the Quran and the Sunnah, or the revelation consists of two parts, the Quran, the Book of Allah, and the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. From his own words, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, أَلَا إِنِّي أُوتِيتُ الْقُرْآنَ وَمِثْلَهُ مَعَهُ, which means, verily, I have been given the Qur'an or the book, الكتاب, وَمِثْلَهُ مَعَهُ, and with it, that which is similar to it. Similar to it, يعني, in legislative power. Not in the words themselves, because the words of Allah never compare to the words of others, and vice versa. Okay? Just like Allah may not be compared to others, similarly His words may not be compared to the words of others. Okay? So, this is talking, مِثْلَهُ مَعَهُ, what is like it, with it, means what is like it, in legislative power. Because it is like it in being a revelation from Allah, it is like it in that sense. It is like it in that the meanings are come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Therefore, we are bound by it like we are bound by the Quran, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This hadith that I just mentioned is part of a longer statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which he said that there will be times, يُوشِكُ يَكُونُ رَجُلٌ شَبْعَانٌ مُتَّكِئٌ عَلَىٰ أَرِيكَتِهِ, there will be times when there will be a man with full stomach reclining on his chair or in his armchair. يقول انظروا في كتاب الله, he would say, check in Allah's book, whatever we find in it halal, حللنا, we accept it as halal, and whatever we find in it as haram, we prohibit, حرمنا. So he said, ألا وإنما أحل رسول الله أو ما حرم رسول الله مثل ما حرم الله, the Prophet ﷺ said, verily, whatever Allah's Messenger prohibits is similar or equal to what Allah prohibits. Ala inni utitu al-kitaba aw al-Qur'ana wa mithlahu ma'ahu. I have been given the Qur'an and that which is similar to it with it. Okay, so, and we know of course that there are people like this in our time. And maybe they were in previous times, but we, because of, you know, the media and other easy way of communication in our times, we know that there are many people who claim that all what Islam stands on is the Quran, nothing else. And they reject the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So basically they reject the second part of the Shahada, that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is Rasulullah. So since Islam consists of part, the Quran and the Sunnah, and the Sunnah is contains the commands that came from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, therefore we are required, we are bound, as I said little earlier, by the Quran and the Sunnah, we are required to follow and obey the commands of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as much as we are bound and obliged to obey the commands and instructions that are in the Quran. So Allah Azza wa Jalla says in a number of ayat in the Quran, and I will just mention one, مَنْ يُطِعَ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ مَنْ يُطِعَ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ. Whoever obeys the messenger, he has indeed obeyed Allah. And by obeying the messenger, we are indirectly obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani if you have somebody who is very trustworthy, someone who you trust completely, you have no doubt about what he tells you, and he is a messenger from someone else whom you respect, that, and you feel that you are supposed to follow and obey. Like for example, a king, or a boss, or somebody like that. So he comes to you and he tells you, the boss tells you, the chiefs tells you that you should do such and such. You cannot say, no, I'm not going to do it, because, why? Because I do not trust you, I trust you. So if I trust you, and I know you are coming from him, that means that he is the one who is commanding me. And when I obey what you tell me, it means I'm obeying him. And if I do not obey you, then he will be angry at me, because he knows that he sent you, and he knows that I trust you, and I believe that what you brought me are commands that come directly from him. Okay? So this is how we should deal with the teachings, with the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The teachings of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam are words, statements, and are actions. Yani not all of his Sunnah. And when we say Sunnah, we have to remember that we mean the authentic Sunnah. The authentic Sunnah. Okay? Yani anything that has been proven to be authentic by the specialists, by the ulama of hadith. That's what we mean when we say Sunnah. Okay? So the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ consists of his statements, and consists also of his actions. Consists also of his actions. How do we know that? Because Allah Azza wa Jal tells us. He says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخرة وذكر الله كثيرا, سورة الأحزاب. Which means, indeed, in the messenger of Allah is a beautiful pattern of conduct, or a perfect pattern of conduct for you to be followed by anyone who believes in Allah and the last day and remembers Allah abundantly. So Allah tells us that He is our example, and not only as any example, the best example. Uswatun hasana. So that means that we have to learn His practices, His conduct, His ways, so that we can follow them. So this tells us that His practices, His actions are part of His Sunnah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and part of the revelation that is controlled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was controlled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which means that if he did something wrong, Allah would have corrected him so that we would not follow him into it. And this happened on a few occasions, such as the occasion in Surah Al-Ahzab also, mentioned in Surah Al-Ahzab, where the Prophet ﷺ was shy to tell people something, and Allah Azza wa Jalla rebuked him immediately. Okay? So the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ includes his actions and behavior, and he is the best example that there is. Now we can add to the Sunnah also that the approvals of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We will not be getting much into this in the rest of the discussion, but just for completeness, I'm mentioning this, that also the approvals of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam are part of his Sunnah. Why is that? Because he was commanded to deliver the message complete. And if something happens in his presence or with his knowledge, and he approves it, which means he does not object to it. He does not say, why did you do this? You should have done something else instead. Then this means that this is also part of his Sunnah. It's part of the acceptable, at least, things to him. And therefore, it is part of the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, as I said earlier, when I was talking about the hadith of Jabir radiallahu anhu, that in regard to the statements that the Prophet ﷺ used to say in his speeches, أَمَّا بَعْدْ فَأَنَّ خَيْرَ الْحَدِيثِ كِتَابُ اللَّهُ وَخَيْرَ الْهَدِي هَدِي مُحَمَّدٍ ﷺ وَشَرَّ الْأُمُورِ مُحْدَثَاتُهَا. Indeed, the best speech is Allah's book, and the best guidance is Muhammad's guidance, and the worst of affairs of religion are those innovated by people, for every such innovation is an act of misguidance that leads to the fire. This hadith tells us, and this statement by the Prophet ﷺ tells us, that the only guidance that will be the true guidance for us, the way that leads us into success, is the guidance that comes from revelation, that comes from the book of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This will be further clarified when we mention the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud about, actually I'll mention it now because I don't see it mentioned here. So the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, which is a Musnad Ahmad, and it's authentic of course, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once drew a line, a long line, long straight line on the ground, and he told his companions, هذا سبيل الله, this is Allah's way, this is Allah's way, which means the way that leads to Allah, to his acceptance, to his rewards, or the way that Allah commands you to follow, same meaning, yani they are equivalent. So he said, هَذَا سَبِيلُ اللَّهِ. So he drew a long straight line and he said, هَذَا سَبِيلُ اللَّهِ. Then, عَلَى جَنْبَيْهِ أَوْ جَنْبَتَيْهِ, on both sides of that long line, he drew short, curved lines. And he said, وَهَذِهِ سُبُلٌ. These are other ways. عَلَى رَأْسِ كُلِّ سَبِيلٍ مِّنْهَا شَيْطَانٌ يَدْعُو إِلَيْهِ. In the beginning of each one of these other ways or other roads, other paths, there is a devil calling to it. And then he recited the ayah. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited the ayah. وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلَ فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ. From the end of Surah Al-An'am. Which means, and indeed, this is my path. It is straight, so follow it. And do not follow other paths, because they will divert you from his path. They will divert you from his path. So there is only one path that leads to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is straight. It is long. It is long maybe. But it definitely, it certainly will lead to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are other ways that appear short. And some people think this is a shortcut. It is short, I don't have to go through that long way. I can take this shortcut and save myself time. But there's no time saving here. Actually, there is a waste of time, because a lot of waste of time, and sometimes people will go into one of these roads and will never come back to the straight path. And you see, there are devils sitting at each corner on Allah's path. So while we are walking on Allah's straight path, we find a devil here saying, come this way. I'll give you some advice and take you in a way that will please you and will help you. So some people will believe and follow. And then there's another path, another path, another path. Another devil calling to this path and that path and that path. So the ways of deviation are infinite. There's no end to them. There's no end to them. Okay? Whereas the way of guidance is only one. Is only one. And that's the way of Allah. And that is the way that we are required to follow. And it is based on Allah's book and the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have no choice but to do this. And some people say, okay, I have the option of either following the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or following some other way. But as I said, there is no option. There is no option here. We are required to follow only one way, the way of the sunnah. And now sometimes when we say sunnah, we implicitly mean the Quran, of course, with it. Okay? Because there's no way we are going to follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam without the Quran. And the word sunnah, by the way, the word sunnah means way. The word sunnah means way. And when we say a sunnah, it means a way. When we say the sunnah, it means the one sunnah that we are referring to now, which is the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was based on the revelation that was revealed to him, the book of Allah, and his hadith or his teachings. Okay? So sometimes when we say sunnah, we include in it, in its meaning, the Quran. So we are obliged to submit to the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Quran for sure, and also his teachings, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتْ وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. Which means, but no, by your Lord, they will not truly believe This is in Surah An-Nisa, by the way. They, by your Lord, they will not truly believe until they make you, O Muhammad, judge in all disputes that arise among them, and then find within themselves no resistance against your judgment, and submit to them, submit to it with full submission. This ayah is very strong in requiring from us to adhere to the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the ulama, such as Ibn Qayyim in particular, has a very extensive discussion of this ayah in particular. I think you'll find some of that in Ar-Risala Tabukiyya, or the spiritual journey, as I have translated it, and you can find it outside. He has a good discussion of this ayah. فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ Allah Azza wa Jal is making an oath by Himself. And there are only few places in the Qur'an where Allah Azza wa Jal makes an oath by Himself. Usually He makes an oath by one of His creation. And to emphasize to us a point of importance, He makes an oath. Like, for example, in Surah An-Najm that we mentioned earlier, he says, وَالنَّجْمِ إِذَا هَوَى By the star, when it falls down, which means when it declines, when it sets. And he says, وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا وَالضُحَى وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَى etc. There are so many ayat in the Qur'an where Allah Azza wa Jal makes an oath, and the oath is by one of His creations. Okay? Now, for us human beings, of course, we are not allowed to say to do this. I'm not allowed to say by the sun, or by the moon, or by the stars, or by Al-Kaaba. We are not allowed. It's prohibited to make an oath by anything except by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Creator. Okay? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man kana halifan falyahlif billah aw liyasmut." Whoever wants to make an oath, let him make an oath, the oath by Allah, or remain silent. And he said, "Man halafa bighayri Allah faqad ashrak." Whoever makes an oath by other than Allah, he has committed shirk. He has associated gods with Allah. So we make an oath only by the one who created us subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, but Allah Azza wa Jal makes an oath by whatever He wills of His creation. And He makes oaths by Himself. And here in this ayah, He chose to make the oath by the greatest with whom an oath can be made, who is Allah Himself. So He said, "No, by your Lord." And he started by negation. He started by a negation. Yani he did not say, وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ By your Lord, they will not believe. No, he said, no, by your Lord, they will not believe. This negation in the Arabic language, yani for those who are specialized in the balagha, in the eloquence of the Arabic language, they understand that this negation is an emphasis here. When you are negating something, and you start your sentence by an additional negation, this affirms the thing that you are negating. So here Allah Azza wa Jal is negating Iman. He's saying, لا يؤمنون, they do not believe, or they will not believe. And he starts the sentence by a negation, no, they will not believe. Instead of saying, yes, they will not believe, he says, no, they will not believe. This no in the beginning affirms the coming negation. So it becomes stronger. So he says, no, by your Lord, then he brings the oath, they will not believe. No, by your Lord, they will not believe unless and until they set you, O Muhammad, as a judge, as an arbitrator in all issues of difference that arise among them. فيما شجر بينهم. ثم, and then after that, لا يجدوا في أنفسهم حرجا مما قضيت. They do not find in themselves tightness, opposition against what you decide for them, against what you judge for them. So it's not only that they set you as an arbitrator and khalas. Yani sometimes you go to the judge and say, you and the other party with which you have you have a difference over something. So you go to a judge, you accept someone as a judge, you go to him and you say, please judge for us. So he judges, and after the judgment, you or the other party may have something in their heart against the judgment. You're not happy with it. You say, he was not fair in his judgment. He gave him something that he should have given me, or vice versa. Okay? This cannot be done with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We set him as a judge in issues of difference, and then there should be no tightness or reluctance or dislike in our hearts in regard to what he judged. ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتْ. Rather, this is also a further emphasis, وَيُسَلِّمُوا, they should submit to it. وَيُسَلِّمُوا, they should submit to it. And even more emphasis, تَسْلِيمًا. Here, when you add the abstract noun to the verb, after the verb you bring the abstract noun, this is an even further emphasis, which means full submission. And they submit a submission. Here, a submission means a full submission, with full submission. And there are other, yani you can learn much more about this ayah, as I said, from the writings of Al-Imam Ibn Al-Qayyim rahimahullah. But yani what we said inshallah is enough to highlight the importance of adhering to the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ and the prohibition of rejecting that or declining that. Allah Azza wa Jal also says, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَارَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ. It is not for a believing man or woman, ما كان لمؤمن ولا مؤمنة. يعني here the mention of مؤمن and مؤمنة, usually the word مؤمن covers both, but when they are spelled out like this, it is to even emphasize that, look, don't think that this applies only to men. It applies also to you, women. It applies to both. So, do not take it as a light matter. It is a serious matter. It is not an option for a believing man or a believing woman that when Allah and His Messenger have decreed a decree or decided in a matter, they have made a decision that they should have a choice about the matter. It is not for a believing man or a believing woman when Allah or His Messenger have made a decision in a matter that they, the believing man or the believing woman, would have a choice in regard to that matter. Okay? This is in Surah Al-Ahzab also. This is in reference to the same issue that I mentioned earlier, where Allah Azza wa Jalla corrected the Prophet ﷺ for being shy in regard to enforcing a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So here Allah Azza wa Jalla is combining the Messenger with him in being the ones who give the decision and make the decree. Which also emphasizes an earlier point that whoever obeys the messenger has indeed obeyed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that the messenger does not say things or speak things out of his own, but they are a revelation. Whatever he speaks is a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, if this is the case, then when they decide in a matter, you have no option but to follow. You cannot say yes and no and maybe. You have to follow exactly as they command us. Okay. As we said about this line, that it is the only line that leads to success and salvation, and it is therefore the only way to solve our problems. It is the only way for solving our problems. In the hadith of Al-Arbad bin Sariya, which I mentioned a small part of it last night, the Prophet ﷺ said when his companions asked him to give them an advice, a final advice, he said, أُوصِيكُمْ بِتَقْوَى اللَّهِ وَالسَّمْعِ وَالطَّاعَةِ وَإِنْ كَانَ عَبْدًا حَبَشِيًّا فَإِنَّهُ مَنْ يَعِشْ مِنْكُمْ بَعْدِي فَسَيَرَى اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي وَسُنَّةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ الرَّاشِدِينَ المهديين من بعدي تمسكوا بها وعضوا عليها بالنواجذ وإياكم ومحدثات الأمور فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة. He said صلى الله عليه وسلم, I command you to maintain taqwa of Allah and to listen, which means to your ruler, and obey him. To listen and obey. Even if he was an Abyssinian slave. Even if he was an Abyssinian slave. And the question is, how can a slave be a ruler? That's impossible. And the answer is, it means if he was an Abyssinian slave, and then later on was freed so that he would be a ruler. So he is not a slave while he is a ruler, but he might have been a slave before. Even if this is the situation, then you still have to obey him. You cannot say that he was a slave. Why should I obey him? He was an inferior being. No, he is your ruler, so you have to obey him. Okay? Indeed, those of you who will outlive me will witness great dissension. He's telling his companions, and this is of course from Allah's revelation, he would not have known this by himself. So he's telling them, those who will live even a few years after me will see a great dissension within the Ummah. And this indeed happened not too long after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Actually it started right after his death, when several groups of people started breaking off from Islam and turning against Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. And he had to fight against them right from the beginning. And then after that, there were many problems, not too many during the life of Umar radiallahu anhu. The Ummah was united after him. But his actual assassination was the beginning of a great turmoil in the Muslim Ummah that continued after his death without stop, radiallahu anhu. So in the hadith actually of Hudhaifa radiallahu anhu, because Hudhaifa was like one of the companions that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him things that he did not tell anyone else. And especially in regard to fitan, to tribulations that were to take place in the future times after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Umar asked him, did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tell you about the fitna? And Hudhaifa tried to avoid answering. So he said, yeah, he told me about this, about that, about that. He started answering about different tribulations that the Prophet ﷺ told him about. He said, no, I don't mean that. I mean the fitna. And Hudhayfa realized that Umar knows something about it and that he has no way of escaping the answer. So he said, yes, there is a fitna, there will be a fitna which will cause a lot of tribulation among the Muslims, and that there is, but he said, you don't have to worry about it, O Amir al-Mu'mineen, because there is a door that separates you from it. There is a door that separates you from it. So, and the door, he actually means himself, Umar. He said, you are separated from that fitna because you are a door between that and the future tribulations. And Umar radiallahu anhu, who seems to have heard something but he was not sure about, and he wanted to confirm it from Hudhayfa, he said, this door, is it going to be opened or broken? And Hudhayfa, you know, lowered his head and he said, it's going to be broken. So Umar, you know, this was conferred to Umar radiallahu anhu, that he will be assassinated. That he will be assassinated. And he knew this from other, actually, other ahadith indicated this, like the hadith in which of the mountain of Uhud, when the Prophet ﷺ said, Uthbut Uhud, be quiet, O mountain of Uhud, when it shook, because upon you stands a Nabi, a Prophet, and a Siddiq, which is Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, and two martyrs, and one of them was to be Umar, and the other was to be Uthman, as far as I remember, Allahu Anam. So anyways, there was, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew from what Allah told him that there was going to be a lot of dissension after him in the ummah. So he said, those of you who will live long enough after me will see great dissension. فَعَلَيْكُمْ بِسُنَّتِي. Therefore, adhere to my sunnah and the sunnah of the rightly guided successors after me. Yani in the situations of tribulations and dissension within the ummah, what do you do? Follow my sunnah. Adhere to my sunnah, because that will bring you back to the straight path so that you are not confused. Follow my sunnah, my way, and the way of the rightly guided successors after me, who are the Sahaba collectively, radiallahu anhum. The reason I'm saying that is because when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu ruled, he did not rule as a separate, what they say, autocratic individual. Rather, he ruled in consultation with the rest of the Sahaba. And he always consulted with Umar and Uthman and Ali and the other companions. And the same for Umar radiallahu anhu. He always consulted with the people of Shura and so on. So the Sahaba radiallahu anhum acted together to continue carrying the message of the Prophet ﷺ and his teachings to the ummah. So he said, follow my guidance or my sunnah and the teachings or the sunnah, the way of the rightly guided successors after me. تَمَسَّكُوا بِهَا. Hold fast to it. وَعَضُّوا عَلَيْهَا بِالنَّوَاجِذِ. And bite upon it with your molar teeth, which means bite upon it strongly, as if, you know, you are about to drown and you need to catch on something desperately for your life, so you try to bite as strong as you can, and the strongest bite would be with your molar teeth. And beware of newly innovated matters, وإياكم ومحدثات الأمور. Innovative matters in religion, because every innovative matter is a bid'ah, which means a prohibited on innovation, and every bid'ah is a dalala, is an act of misguidance. Okay. Okay, we have to stop. So I'll mention the last point that I wanted to mention in this first segment, and then we can stop inshallah, which is that the guidance of the Sahaba is part of the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We saw this in the hadith that we just heard, that you just heard, hadith al-Arbad bin Sariya, and also we see this from a number of other texts of the Quran and the Sunnah. For example, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, addressing the Sahaba, He says, فَإِنْ آمَنُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ فَقَدْ اهْتَدَوْا. He says to the Sahaba, to the companions, if they believe like you believe, then they are guided. Because when the Quran was revealed, it was revealed to a certain group of people, and those people who were with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam were his companions. And he's addressing them, all believers, if they believe like you believe, then they are guided. So we have to have the belief of the Sahaba. We have to learn how they believed so that we believe like them. And he says, وَمَنْ يُشَاقِقِ الرَّسُولَ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَى وَيَتَّبِعَ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّى وَنُصْلِهِ جَهَنَّمَ وَسَاءَتْ مَصِيرًا. If a person opposes the messenger after guidance has become clear to him and follows other than the path of the believers, and who are the believers when this ayah was revealed? The Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And who follows a path other than the path of the believers, we will give him whatever consequence he chose and admit him into hell. What an evil destination. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمْ وَرَضُوا عَنْهُ وَعَدَّ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي تَحْتَهَا الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ. This is Surah Tawbah, which means, and the first to embrace Islam among the Muhajirin, those who migrated from Mecca to Medina, and the Ansar, those who supported them from the dwellers of Medina, and also those who follow them in the best way, those who follow them in the best way. Yani he made, Allah Azza wa Jal set those Muhajirin and Ansar as the forerunners, as the example, the leaders for us. And those who follow them in the best way will be with them in the reward that Allah is mentioning here. Allah is pleased with them. Allah will then be pleased with us if we follow them. And they with Him. They will be pleased with Him, yani with whatever reward He will give them. He has prepared for them gardens beneath which rivers flow, and in which they will abide eternally. That is the supreme success. May Allah make us of those who are true followers of the Muhajirin, the first Muhajirin and Ansar. I'll stop here inshallah. وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.